He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge. I'm Anthony Irwin, joined by Roz Topalu, and a late addition here to the show. Welcome, Sabrina Merchant.
What's up, guys? Oh, man. I love postseason basketball. Couldn't help myself.
I walked in after that game. So I was watching outside on the back patio, and because I was doing All Access Lakers for it with Roz and the gang there. And I walk in, and Jen... This is how I know it's postseason basketball. Jen goes, whoo! Because she had the game on inside. Because I kind of bug her when I'm just talking to basically nobody while the game is going on. Please, Lakers, all I ask next year, don't put us through this again. Let us not go through that again. I'm so sick of these stupid play-in games. I'm done with it. I don't want to do it anymore.
The play-in has been very good to the Lakers and has been very good to the NBA because every single Lakers play-in game has gone right down to the wire. You had that LeBron three-eyed, seeing in the middle of the basket, whatever nonsense against Golden State, the overtime game against Minnesota last year, and then this one.
I would have loved to seen, because if it was Lakers Warriors in the 9-10 matchup, if the Lakers lost tonight, just a full-time video of Adam Silver watching his two biggest money grabs playing for one of them to be eliminated before the playoffs even start.
He would have hated that. This is best case scenario. If the Warriors win now, you can get the Lakers and the Warriors in the playoffs.
Yeah, you get both in now. Yeah.
I thought the Lakers would get, like I told Aaron on the show the other day, I thought that the Lakers would win the one to get the 8 seed, but then lose to play the Warriors in the 9-10 game. But we'll see what comes out of this one here for the league. As we are recording, Golden State is actually down 10-15 in Sacramento. But yeah, the Lakers win. They win their play-in game. They move on to play the Denver Nuggets. So in this one, we are going to be talking about the game. We're going to be talking about the matchup with the Denver Nuggets on the back half of this episode. I do want to say I can't quite fit it into the episode permanently, but I did. I went out and bought this shirt today. This morning I had a good feeling about this game. Avery's donut money was riding.
Anthony, you were team tank.
I know. What I was saying.
Even as I was all team tank, I did acknowledge that I thought that the Lakers were going to win this game. So that is just so everybody's curious. In New Orleans, no, my assistant didn't buy that for me. That shirt was not laid out for me on my bed before the game. I picked the shirt for myself and thought that the Lakers were going to handle business. And yes, that is all, folks. And you know what? I think a pretty good place to start this one is with Anthony Davis. I think it's kind of fitting to start there, because Anthony Davis played really, really poorly and then played extremely well down the stretch of the game. And all I kept thinking in the back of my head, because I am a child of the 90s, was this clip from in my opinion, the most quotable movie of all time.
You know, Lloyd, just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this and totally redeem yourself.
The best movie of all time.
It's very good.
Please tell me you've seen this movie.
I haven't seen this movie, but I've seen you call this movie Dumb and Dumber, right? That's what this is called? Okay. No, I have not seen this yet.
Dumb and Dumber is just what we call the episodes that Harrison and I host on this.
I like that Raj says yet as if like it just came out.
Spoiler alert, Raj. No. I don't even think you can spoil that movie. There's nothing that actually happens in it. But yeah, I want to start with you, Raj, because I know Sabrina and I, like, we watch this in different ways than you do at this point. Like, you are still very, very much like live and die on all of this stuff. And like, it had to like hurt you physically to watch Anthony Davis play the way that he was early in this game.
Yeah, so I don't know if he was still kind of nursing an injury. It's clear, like, with the back injury, I don't really put the offensive misses on that. I think he was just struggling. He had some shots go in and out against Valanciunas. Some of the pick and pop stuff wasn't working. To me, it was the offensive rebounds, right? Like, it was clear New Orleans, it's hard to beat a team, like, twice in a row, especially a team like this who's won as much of as they have. They're, like, 10 or 11 games over 500. In a normal Western Conference, this would be a legit like 4 or 5 seed in the West.
This would be a series.
Right. So it'd be tough to kind of dominate them twice. But it was clear New Orleans went into this game. We're going to be super physical. They played Valanciunas more. They told him, okay, we're going to run post-ups for you. We're going to kind of test that back, right? And I thought Zion also kind of accepted the physical challenge. He was hunting AD at one point, and I'm sure, like, for us at home, it's very easy to be like, hey, AD, just put your hands up, accept the, you know, contact every time. But Zion attacking you consistently for, like, 30, 40 minutes into your chest with a guy who already has, like, I've never had real back problems, but I'm sure that doesn't help, like, your back when a guy who's 200-whatever pounds Zion is hitting your chest every time. And I thought that really kind of tired him out. But yeah, LeBron was like 1 for 8 in the fourth quarter, and AD stepped up. He got a lot of offensive rebounds. The Pelicans continue to go to this Larry Nance, Zion front court to close, and the Lakers tried to feed AD. He just could not get it going. Larry Nance is really stern in the post. He was able to kind of push him off of his mark, but yeah, it's good for AD. He also hit 4 straight clutch free throws. AD, like, that was the conversation around him, right? Everyone's watching. So Tyler,
I was so nervous on the second set, on the second set of two.
You and Reggie Miller was suggesting that he missed the second one.
Oh my god. Freaking Reggie Miller saying missed the free throw with 3 seconds left. Like, who?
It's like there's like Colin rules and you can't advance the ball or something.
Did you see like I think it took about 2.7 seconds for Zion to like advance the ball at the end of the first half. Remember how that ended? Where like he got the ball and it took all of 2.5 seconds to get from baseline to baseline there. And Reggie is like, oh, plenty of time. Miss it if you want. You're good.
What sucks is these free throws don't count. So like all these stats just get thrown into
playing stats count. They're just carved in some other corner of history.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
they count to... Valanciunas is the king of playing stats.
Yeah. They count to us, but in regular season stats, they don't really add up. But no, it's cool to see AD knock those down. I think that's just big for him and it being in New Orleans. As well, and the shirts you have on Anthony, like all that stuff kind of combines for a really cool moment for AD. So I thought he stepped up. I was really promoting winning this game, and now AD gets 4 days off to prepare for Denver. But I thought he, you know, this is a really nice moment for him for sure.
I was really promoting winning this game.
I really was.
Like, I wanted to know.
I really was. Harrison and Anthony were like really creating. We're creating a huge contingent of people who are kind of, you know, explaining to me why they should lose this game. And I had to
a huge contingent, Raj, based off of Harrison and my mentions for the last 24 hours, it was not a huge contingent of people who agreed with
me. My brother called me today to tell me why I was stupid for suggesting that they should lose.
The other thing that was kind of like crossing my mind as this was happening, basically for the majority of the game, was like, man, the Lakers are up double digits and LeBron and AD like aren't even playing very well. Like AD especially was playing poorly outright. And I do think, look, I still think the Lakers are going to be like proclivative, like underdogs. Like prohibitive. Prohibitive.
Word, yeah.
Yeah. Proclivative. It's like I've had one sip of wine, but I think the Lakers are still, you know, I do not feel good at all going into that Denver series. But for the other guys, right, for the D'Angelo Russells of the world, for Austin Reeves in stretches of this game, for Rui, for the other guys to be able to keep the Lakers afloat while those guys kind of figured it out, while their main guys. Sabrina, I feel like that's really big going into this next series.
Yeah, I think for D'Lo especially, right? He had such a terrible series against Denver last year. I mean, he was pretty hit or miss throughout the entirety of the playoffs. Like, I think we rate him highly because of two excellent 8-minute stretches against Memphis.
The peaks are so high.
Yeah, the peaks are very high. there was a lot of valleys in last year's postseason. And I thought, I mean, just for him to get that steal on that Alvarado kickout at the end of the game, what a great play for D'Angelo Russell. If you don't think of him making killer defensive plays. And that was so big for just the way that game was going. And then, you know, to make the three and talk so much trash to the Pelicans bench on the way down. Thank goodness he did not get a technical there, because it probably would have been justified. you know, I'm just really happy for D'Lo. Like, these moments, yeah, it's just the play-in tournament. It's not the playoffs. It's postseason, like, in name only. But it matters, right? Like, D'Lo is very much a vibes guy. And just to have a good feel going into this next series, I think is super important.
Yeah, I love that you point out the defensive play, that it was like, because he didn't play well in the second half, right? He scored 15 in the first half, 3 in the second, and yeah. I think that's what he finished with. I mean, he had 21 points.
So there's an extra at some 3 somewhere.
Yeah, I don't remember him, but like the but making that play in that fashion, because Pelicans had all of the momentum in the world, right? And I know that the major conversation coming out of this one is going to be Zion. It should be. Like, it should be. I know people kind of whine about analysis after stuff like this being about, like, the whole, why can't we just talk about the game? Why does it have to be Zion Williamson talk? Like, what? That's a big part of the game. Zion was killing the Lakers, right? He was on his way to a 50-burger. He was getting whatever he wanted at the rim. He was making defensive plays too, right, Raj? Like, we talked about this after the last game that the Lakers played in, how it's annoying that he doesn't play with any real force defensively. And in this one, he did. My bad. We probably shouldn't have pointed that out.
It's his first postseason game. It's cool for him. I'm so sad he got injured.
Me too. I hope he's okay. I hope he's ready, like, able to play in their next game against whoever comes out of this one between the Warriors and the Kings, which 25-18 in Sacramento's favor right now. It should be like the conversation about the after this game being about Zion Williamson, 100% correct. And, you know, I also thought going into this one that Willie Green would lean more on Jonas Valanciunas to get some more any size on that front line, because AD tends to struggle against bigger, bulkier European centers. And it, like, that aspect of this makes me nervous, because the Lakers are going up against, like, the best big bulky European center. And so, like, it's, that adjustment,
the West is just littered with them, honestly. Like, one of them after the other.
You're not wrong at all. But
that's
like,
so true.
Does that, like, fourth quarter, like, Raj, after the game, you're talking about, like, bring on Denver. Yes. That is that's the back end of this title here on YouTube, for those of you who are watching, is bring on the Denver Nuggets. And that fourth quarter and the way that the Lakers played, or the way that Anthony Davis played all game, when the adjustment was to play Jonas more because those guys tend to bother AD, how does that make you feel about this next matchup that the Lakers have? Honestly, like,
don't
pretend.
No. I mean, so I think we also forget AD had 40 in game one versus Denver last year. So, like, it's not like he can't get baskets against him. He kind of wore down as the series gone on. And I think that's more just I think he was hurt during that series as well. But no, like, tonight, I thought he just missed a lot of bunnies. And the way you kind of pick on Valanciunas and any of these big centers, right, you don't go at them through the post. That's where their strength is. To me, where the Lakers kind of hurt Valanciunas, and why Willie Green in game one, not game one, because it's not a real series, but in the first game, he pulled Valanciunas with 2 minutes left, because the Lakers went LeBron AD pick and roll every single time. There's like, here's the ball screen, defend it. AD caught it on the move, was able to kind of catch and get a nifty layup, got a hook shot to go in. Tonight, he just missed those bunnies, and like, I don't really attribute that to his injury. So that doesn't really concern me. It's more, can you make Jokic move? Can you make the Denver Nuggets move on defense, right? Can you kind of punish them? Like, New Orleans tonight, I thought the pressure really increased in the second half, and that's where D'Lo struggles, right? When, especially Alvarado, I thought came in and changed the game. He pushed the pace. He ball pressured full court every single time. And I thought that's the reason why you have guys like you have the continuity police, because that's where late in game, 2 minutes left, we went Austin Reaves, LeBron pick and roll. And Austin, Sabrina, you brought up the three that D'Lo made in the corner. That was off of Austin driving kick. LeBron didn't even touch the ball that possession. So that's the kind of stuff to me. AD's never going to be a guy you just give the ball to and say, here, go score at a high points per possession in the post. That's not really his offensive game. Can he punish you in the pick and roll? And can other guys hit shots? And to me, that's where it is. In fourth quarters, can LeBron hunt Jokic on switches? LeBron's foot had like one leg, I believe, last year, however he put it in the post game. Can LeBron attack Jokic off the dribble, you know, in pick and rolls, and punish their switches? Can he go Eric Gordon? Can he put Eric Gordon in foul trouble? To me, that's what it is. It's not really a European big thing. Like, I think the Sabonis thing is interesting too, because you can have context around that where, like, those are second nights of back-to-backs or whatever. But, no, AD gets a chance to redeem himself and get revenge, quote-unquote, on. I mean, is it revenge when you're 1-1 in a series? I'm not sure. But
revenge when you lost last year. I think it's appropriate to call it revenge.
Yes.
I was talking every single regular season game this year.
I was texting Pete today because of like the last like 24 hours, and because, you know, he shouted out Harrison and me in their show, right? And then I named today's episode "Take That LFR." I don't regret anything. But like I was texting Pete, and we were going back and forth about this Denver matchup and about like the possibility of facing them and why I don't want to. And like at the end of the day, it still comes down to the Lakers' strength is physicality and size, mm-hmm. and overwhelming and suffocating teams that way. And that also happens to be Denver's strength. And so you have strength versus strength, and their strength is better than your strength. And that is basically like the foundation of why the Lakers aren't able to, they haven't won in eight tries against the Nuggets. And like, that is at the end of the day, like there are things you could point to. And I do plan on, I texted friend of the show, Adam Modest, like he's going to come on the show here in the next few days to preview that series as well, just like we did last year. But Sabrina, like that, no matter what other possible variances that you could point to as far as like why the Lakers, or variables that is, why the Lakers could make it closer this time around than they did last time, right? Raj wants to point to how close those games were.
They were all close. They were.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. They were the same movie over and over again. It's like Thanos, I'm sure, right? And every bad guy in every superhero movie all the time is like, man, if we had just had that one thing go right. But like, you have a real bad losing record, like losing streak going. But yeah, right. With this matchup coming up here, no matter what other variables, Denver is not as deep. Bruce Brown is not on that team. Jeff Green is not on that team. They are hoping that Peyton Watson is like ready to go for the playoffs and is ready to do like playoff type stuff here. And that I do think is worth mentioning, but I still always come down to their best five is so much better than almost any, no. Yeah. I think better than every other like best five in the league. And I can't get past that. Like that's where I get hung up on every single time. That's the wall that I run into. Sabrina, I know that I don't normally ask you or come to you for optimism on this front. This is usually where I go to the, for Raj to for those things, but like are you running into that same brick wall as I am?
Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about the Bruce Brown part of it quite a bit, and then I remember, oh yeah, there were four regular season games where Bruce Brown is on a part and the Lakers still lost those four. Yep. So that doesn't give me a ton of hope. I will say the pacing of this first round series is probably one of the elements in the Lakers' favor. The conference finals are always on an every other day schedule, whereas this one is going to have multiple off days in between games. And because it's Lakers, you can bet this thing is going to be stretched out like nobody's business in the first round. So that definitely plays in LeBron's favor and Anthony Davis's favor. They are much healthier than they were at this time last year. LeBron may or may not have had a surgery. I don't know exactly what happened. I just remember him saying, if I have a surgery, it'll be over before the next time I see you guys. So you'll never know. And congrats, LeBron. I don't know if you had surgery, but you look great. Anthony Davis gets these 4 days right to rest from whatever was ailing him from that regular season finale. So I think, you know, from that perspective, like there is some hope for the Lakers just because you'll be able to put your absolute best foot forward as opposed to six games of chasing around the Warriors, you know, leading up to the conference finals. Like it's definitely a better lead-in than what was going on last year. I do think, like Raj was saying, there is some element of continuity this year, right? It's obviously not on the same degree as what the Nuggets are working with. Like, they've had the same starting five since the trade deadline in 2021. And yeah, Jamal Murray missed a good chunk of that. Or I'm sorry, KCP came a little bit later. But like, they've had the same starting five for longer than the Lakers have had their starting five that they're working with. And that obviously looks the part on the court. But I don't know. I mean, I kind of come down to like, LeBron is just a super prideful dude. And yep. It was embarrassing the way the Lakers lost last year. Like, he had never been swept in a series before, if I remember correctly. Yeah. And
neither is Michael. Like, I don't think Michael has ever been swept. And like, yeah, that kind of stuff tweaks him a little bit.
Right. So I think just because of, like, it's like Roger was saying, like, I think the Nuggets are inherently better than the Lakers, but it also is very hard to beat the same team over and over and over again. Like, at a certain point, I think the dam is going to break. And whether that's when they're already down 3-0 and you end up winning 2 and losing in 6, like, I'm not sure, or if it breaks earlier. But I don't think this is going to be a sweep this year. I'm not saying that I'm picking the Lakers, but I do have a little bit more faith in their ability to find something that works. Like, the fact that, you know, maybe you do get, like, Aaron Gordon in foul trouble, because I think he is, God, so important to that identity. He's the one that single-handedly turns them from the 2000 bubble Nuggets into this physical behemoth that neutralizes all of the Lakers' advantages. Maybe, you know, Michael Porter Jr. was damn near unplayable for a lot of that series because he wasn't playing defense, and they just brought in Bruce Brown. And I don't think Christian Brown is ready to be that guy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's one thing during the regular season. It's quite a different thing when you're relied on for 30-plus minutes in the playoffs. So, I don't know. I feel better about the Lakers this time around, but I mean, I'm not picking them. Like, I think this is where the rope ends.
All right. So as Sabrina, this is why I went in this direction, because while Sabrina was talking, I was watching Raj, and he's just bouncing. Like, he's just like going. Like, this is just like,
I'm just so hyped. I'm like, so I'm excited.
Like, he's like, Sabrina saying nice things. Woo! You know? So, Raj, I'm going to let you just carry that forward here.
Yeah, I just want to add on, because I think it's not about Denver getting.
We know you want to add on.
Yeah, you thought I was going to come up and be pessimist.
That would have been the ultimate curveball. He's like, actually, right, guys, we're fucked.
I think you're spot on.
No, it's not about – but to me, it's not about Denver getting worse, even with the Bruce Brown thing. And he did kind of play out of his mind, even for a Bruce Brown level. I remember he hit a bunch of threes in that series and a bunch of clutch shots as well. It's about us being better. Like, and even the games this year against Denver, right? The first game we started, Torian, D'Lo, and Austin against them. And I remember Austin and D'Lo were both super cold to start this season. I remember we were down like 20 in the first quarter, and Gabe Vincent and Jamal Murray had this weird shoving match back and forth. I think the other game in Denver, it was a second night of a back-to-back as well, where we really didn't put our best foot forward. And then also, Rui Hachimura didn't start till game 4, right, of the series last year. I think he'll start. He's obviously going to start now. You don't have the Dennis Schroeder lineups that are smaller. I think Austin Reaves is better as well. Austin Reaves is a better player than he was a year ago. D'Lo can't be worse. There's just that can't. D'Lo can't be worse than he was a year ago. We just talked about D'Lo and the moxie and the swagger. Like, that's, to me, that shows when he's playing well, and he's going in with some momentum, right? KCP is going to run him around, and you hope that he can kind of create, you know, some separation. But if he can't, you have two insurance guards on the bench in Spencer Dinwiddie and Gabe Vincent. Those are insurance guards, and against D'Lo's not playing well, you have two defensive guards to throw on Jamal Murray or whoever. And to me, that's what it is. And the biggest thing to me is LeBron and AD being healthy. Like, I know that's not an easy thing to say. And I know, Anthony, you hate it when I say those games were close. They were. And I put this out. I remember game one last year. We had that game. They went under every single LeBron James ball screen, and he missed like 5 threes in that fourth quarter, and we lost game one. And then game two as well was close down. Game two was a little bit worse because we kind of came back in that game to make it close. But our fourth quarters were just terrible. There was a stat that AD had, like, I remember there was a stat going around that AD had like no shots in fourth quarters in the playoffs or something that was continuing. He's going to have to be a scorer. He should be healthier going in because he came back earlier. I think we're better this year. We have more offensive options, at least, to kind of keep up with Denver. And then, like, Anthony, you said it, I don't really watch movies, but you said it's been the same movie every single time. I think LeBron and AD have the chance to change the script. Like, they have the freaking they have the.
I just love that he's like explaining the concept of a movie. He doesn't really watch.
like LeBron and AD can change the script, man. They've seen the script 100 times. They can be the director of whoever, you know, works in movies. Like, they can be the director and change the script. So I think we're in a much better position now. And Darvin Ham hopefully is better, has learned some things. They have 4 days to prepare for this Denver Nuggets squad. You talked about how they're not as deep as they were last year. Also, Aaron Gordon had 30 or something in game four. Like, there's some stuff that you can take into context. Aaron Gordon hit a bunch of clutch threes, I remember, from last year. I think we're better. I'm still think Denver's obviously going to be favored. And, like, I'm not saying I would pick the Lakers. It's just people saying it's going to be a sweep again. I just can't see that. And then Sabrina brought up the LeBron's prideful part. Like, this is not how GOATs go out. They just don't. Like, the GOATs of our sport, they do not go out like this. So I think this is going to be a much closer series, and we'll see who wins. But there's two ways to walk into this, like, den. You can, you know, walk, like, scared, or you can run in 100 miles per hour. And so I'm hoping the Lakers are running in 100 sure, miles.
It's that much worse when you run into the brick wall. But I do think, like, if the Lakers are going to have a chance in the series, because, like, here's what I don't want, right? I've caught, and rightfully, like, in terms of, like, just being a fan, right? When I start doing the whole, and when Harrison and I start doing the whole, like, maybe you should lose so that you avoid Denver, right? That's bad fanning. Like, I can say that for what it is. But what also is, I think, worse fanning is if you do, like, the participation trophy where it's like, all right, we got one off of them this time, you know, like,
right.
No, yeah. like you got to go into this one and you got to be trying to win the series. Like, that's the whole damn point. And I don't think they can, I still don't think they can win it, period, but they especially can't win it if they don't get a split in the first two games. They need to win one of those games. You need to get that confidence and show them it's the whole thing from, like, 300, right? Where, you know, the main character, I think it's Leonidas, throws the spear and he gets I think Xerxes is the, you know.
Look how Raj's face is killing me. Right,
I know.
He knows I haven't seen that too. Like, I just, there's.
It was like a huge movie when I was
300 before. This led into the whole Maximus discussion and LeBron's kid being named after him.
Yeah, but, like, at the end of the movie, right, the main character, like, he has the opportunity to, like, actually strike him down or whatever, but he throws this, like, javelin, this spear, and it, like, it goes across the guy's face and it cuts his face. And the whole point of it, right, the whole point of at least getting that glancing blow is, and Leonidas was dying, like, that was his last act before he dies. The whole point of it was to show to everybody else that follows him, he bleeds. He bleeds blood, right? And, like, if you get this, if you get one of those first two games, you get that confidence and you do strike that blow and they do bleed. And it's like, all right, you got to get one of those two. And I don't feel great about the first one because the Lakers have played pretty bad coming off of larger breaks, like longer breaks. Like LeBron has said that, like, he has weird rhythm coming off of that long of a break. But still, like, no matter which one it is that you walk away from in getting it, that's, you know, those are the two that you have to split one of one. And if you don't get that, I think the series is basically over. But